everybody. This is Christy. I am the Intimate Warrior. I thank you so much for stopping by. And as always, I send you love. Okay, so this is the video that I have briefly mentioned in the other video that I made the other day in reference to the 444 energetic updates the deeper meaning towards that. I mentioned that I received a comment in a video. And so I wanted to kind of explain a little bit about that comment and then why it matters. But words are essential. We all know that, and we each have a responsibility in proper expression. That's something that I place value on and try to do within my videos and life. And that's something that I mention lots of times throughout my video, that I try to use proper expression. But it was pointed out to me a few days ago that we should try to be very careful about using words such as death, killing, in a time of transformation. So I wanted to talk about that today. But before I begin, I really want to thank the individual for bringing that into my awareness. It was necessary. And I will explain that as well. Why do I watch what I say or attempt to? Because in an unhealed, unlearned, or ego-filled individual, words can have power to destroy. Unless you have followed these 4 years of my path, and even if you have, you honestly don't know in true detail what I have gone through in order to get where I currently am. First, let me express that this path is not about perfection, especially the human terminology of perfection. It's about dedication, consistency, determination, and it's about heart. Those expressions mean faith and love. We all know that in this human experience, a huge part of our experience is the experience of death. Death is difficult for many people. Death robs people of a real life, especially those who have experienced death of a loved one. It hits home. It becomes difficult to live and to breathe. And slowly that person's life begins to die as well. I knew early on in my process that I was going to have to face death. But even before I knew what process I was going through, I knew that I needed to refrain from using certain words. And can't was just one of those. Can't is hazardous to the heart and fuels the ego. Just like the words death, God, faith, love, Satan, Christ can be. And now let me explain that. You know, in my lifetime, in your lifetime, I'm sure you've heard people say, oh gosh, I have faith. I have so much faith. They can easily speak that word. But when it comes down to their life, oh my gosh, everything is just falling apart. And when life gets really difficult, they are not displaying faith. So in all honesty, just like in my past prior to my ascension process, I could tell you, oh yeah, I'm full of faith. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus, you know, and I didn't prove it with my actions. Our actions prove who we are, actually are. So who you are in your most difficult situations is who you are. But it's something that you can change. Our life experiences tend to create who we are in other experiences. And until we become more aware of how we behave through our experiences, we don't change anything and walk the path of faith or love. And God, of course, was was used against me all of my life. So as I was beginning to wake up in my path, and God was coming more into my awareness, and Jesus was coming more into my awareness, my ego was being attacked. I was going through a death process. And I even try not to use words like can't, especially, and no, when I am communicating with my soon-to-be three-year-old granddaughter. I try not to teach her limitations, especially like I was taught. You know, we tell them you can't do this, and we're teaching them, oh my gosh, the inability to do something. No, this is not allowed. No, you can't have this. And it, the brain begins to make connections between no's and can'ts, limitations, limited beliefs, fear develops. So I really try to rephrase my words. You know, and it's so hard, especially when you're trying to keep a child safe. You know, it's not that you can't have something. You're young. And even saying you're too young, you're too small, can be disastrous. Or, it could be limited to the mind. And it's so hard to do. But it's something that I am really trying my hardest to, whenever I have her here, she's under my care, I really am showing her how to love, be love, and understand that I'm still trying to protect her at the same time. And the issue with words is that, and why words can be disastrous, deadly, harmful, hurtful, is because there's an attachment to them. Not just a definition, but a pain, therefore a limitation or a fear. The number 666, which ironically is the number that appeared on my upstairs thermometer while making this video. Theirs, and this is something that is totally misunderstood. Now, I can smile at that, and I was definitely smiling because I know the true meaning of that number. But in my past, I would have smashed the thermometer and probably went running out to my husband, thinking that I was either becoming possessed or the demons were in the house or I was going to die. Physically die. We think of 666 and we think of death. We think of 666 and we think of the devil, spooks, ghosts, evil. And so please forgive me as I am now talking about the 666. But it's all going to connect. You guys, it's the misunderstanding of all things. Now, we know that 666 in the Bible says that it's the number of the beast and of man. And just hearing those things in my past created lots of fear. You know, we're associated with the 666, especially in movies, with possessed people. Possessed people. And so you become terrified. And so, what does 666 represent? Six is in relationship to Yesod within the Tree of Life, which deals with sex and a lower Eden. 666 stands for carbon 12, the six protons, the six electrons, and six neutrons. Christ, which is heaven, is oxygen or aleph, which is the number of 888. It has its shadow in earth, which is 666, or carbon 12, which acts as the devil or Satan. And I'm going to save the rest of this video, or that explanation, for my next video that is going to work with the current energies. So if we can go back to just the word death in my process, not only did I cut out certain words or expressions, but I had to defeat death. I knew that early on in my process. But in order for any of us to truly understand anything, we must go through it, right? I think I mentioned that in my 444 video update. We have to walk the walk, and more specifically, walk the walk of faith. That's what it means to have faith and to be faithful. Walk it. Walking means that we have to put one foot in front of the other, which means that we have to act on faith. We can talk all we want, but unless we are acting, we are lying. 4 years ago, I was instantly reminded of my fear of drowning. As my process began, I knew, and that I knew that God was working within me. I, in my awareness, my mind knew, oh gosh, I'm going to have to face my fear of drowning. I nearly drowned 3 times as a child, and I have tried over and over again to conquer that fear. Yet I would hyperventilate and begin to sink. So 2 things were happening. My mind, ego, replayed my past failures and fears on an automatic loop, and my breathing became erratic. Too much, when we breathe too quickly, we have a buildup of carbon. Carbon is deadly, or can be deadly. But before it's in its deadly state, it can cause the inability to process information correctly as well. The brain can't understand anything. When it has too much carbon, too much in your lungs, your brain isn't getting the proper amount of oxygen. Therefore, you don't think properly. You're not actually breathing properly now. Your heart starts to act differently. And then that's the down spiral effect of drowning. I became anxious and I wanted to bail out of my trip. So I might have skipped that. My husband and I finally made it back to the beach. I failed to mention this. So after my revelation, my husband and I took a beach trip. And that's something that I realized, okay, I'm going to have to, now that I'm at the beach, I'm here at the water, I'm going to have to defeat this. As we were at the beach, the night, we got there, that night that we got to the beach, let me just continue. The night that we got to the beach, I was about to go to bed, I closed my eyes. Instantly as I closed my eyes, I heard God speak. God said, I'm always with you. And I began to giggle internally. And I replied, don't be silly, God. I know. And I drifted off to sleep. The next morning, while I was doing my morning journaling, my husband decided to go to the beach, and I was trying to avoid it. And he swam there for a little bit before all the crowd arrived. But he wasn't there, he wasn't gone very long, and he came back in, and he said, the water is perfect. Christy, if you're ever going to do it, now is the time. And without me being able to respond, he added, use your faith. I chuckled in an attitude type of chuckle, and I said, don't use my faith on me, and got up to get dressed. While walking towards the sand, my heart leapt, and I remembered what God spoke before going to bed. I'm always with you. and tears swelled into my eyes. And I'm remembering that beautiful experience of love. Gosh, God is beautiful. Love is beautiful. And when you defeat your fears, We are giving opportunities every single day to defeat our inner fears, those demons that keep us locked down. You know, we got into the water and we swam for several hours. I didn't even want to get out, and I was ready to swim the next day, but the weather didn't permit it. I conquered a huge part of my life that day. I was so proud of myself. I became free that day, but I knew it wasn't over either. The following year, I had to confirm that fear was defeated. I swam and laughed and began to live even more so after doing that a second time. It's easy to, you know, get over a fear for the first time. Yes, I did it. But you really have to confirm it again. That second step has the ability, and it's not just a second step, it's another third step and a fourth step. The more that you can go through that path where fear once was, more often, every single time you're doing it, you are defeating the ego. You are dying. The ego is something that must die. And I want to continue for you to understand this. In life, in order to defeat, and I've already said that word, death, we must walk, we must take action and prove who we are and not who we thought we were. The word death has power, but so does life. The word fear has power, but so does love. The word devil has power, but so does Christ. The word death to me means nothing, because there is no attachment to it. I know the true meaning of what death signifies. I know what it means. You have to truly understand it. I even had to go through my mother-in-law's death here in January in order to see the process of dying in physical form. I've never seen death hands-on in physical form until she passed. I was her caregiver for all these years. It's been a long time. I haven't left the home other than to do errands, you know, to socialize, other than to see my mom once or twice a month, and for almost 5 years until here recently. That was my death process. I went through the death process with my mother-in-law. You know, and seeing her go through her death process was very difficult. I'm not going to lie. I made that video about it. And you guys understand, I was absent a lot through the holidays. It was difficult because I had so much exhaustion. But I also had to see her pain. Although it was my job to manage her pain. But as she got closer, those days and then those hours of her getting closer to her death, it was beautiful. I saw life taking place. When death takes place, life is there. To say it was beautiful doesn't do it justice. It really was a great experience for me. I saw God's work taking place inside her, everything that she was seeing, her transformation from death to life. In my mother-in-law's process, in her life, every day was death for her. Not even before she was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's was her way out, okay? We all are going to choose a way out of physical form. When we die in physical form, because we live in a world of matter, we are just shedding this form of matter. We go back to the true source. That's why it's so important for you to understand what death is and what death is going to bring you closer to. The word death to me has no pain attached to it. That's why you have to be responsible for understanding not only what words are and mean, but what your path means. I do my best to refrain from saying things. I do my best to come from a loving aspect at all times. And even when I talk about death, I'm doing so in a more loving way. I am not talking about pain. Now, if you are hearing pain in anything that I am talking about in any of my videos, it's about you. And if you understand that wholeheartedly, you can change it. You become the opposite of what you actually have an attachment to. That's true gnosis. And only through true gnosis are you able to become love. Now, death is a term that has been taught to the masses to keep them in fear. And it's in everything in this lifetime. It's been in everything. It's always in movies. It's even in the Bible. But we don't understand the Bible. And then therefore we take in those words from the Bible as deadly. God is in the Bible. Jesus is in the Bible. Yet I used to fear both of those things. Because every time I even heard of God and Jesus, I thought of death. That the only time we can get close to God in Jesus is if we actually died. Whether we die in physical form or we die internally, we can connect to God. The process of our ascension is death, and it gives us life. Our ascension process, we have two choices. Die in physical form or die in ego. Both are going to allow us to witness God in some way, shape, or form. If you really understand that you are an eternal being, you never die, then the word death shouldn't harm you. If the word death is harming you, you have to weed out and understand why it is. Death had such a huge connection with me because of me almost drowning three times as a child. Now, me almost drowning as a child also affected my lungs. When was the very first time I had an asthma attack? I don't know. I don't know the actual timeline of that. But I know I can make a connection that because I almost drowned, I couldn't breathe. When you can't breathe, you develop anxiety. You develop fear. And of course, you don't think properly. Lots of things go on when you don't breathe properly. That became my routine. Asthma has been another thing in my life. Was another thing in my life. That kept me away from true living. Asthma was my death as well. I have experienced death over and over again, and so will you. We are eternal beings. And that has been the promise, and always will be the promise. But it has to be believed. I am responsible for what I say. I really try my hardest in this life. Now I try. I have in the past 4 years. I try and every single day, even if I get into a discussion and I say something, well, I could have said that better. I am doing my best. But I am not responsible for how you feel. I am not responsible for how you feel about anything that I talk about in my videos or in reality. I am responsible. But you see, now I need you to understand this. When we are love, even if you were here and I saw that it hurt you, I would apologize because I am love. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I'm going to apologize. Because maybe I could have said it better. Maybe there was an attitude. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Depending on the situation. And I know I've had several situations like that. You know, like I told you guys, I'm going to apologize to my mom if she ever answers the phone. It's been a month, I believe, that she hasn't answered the phone. And a few weeks ago, I said, I'm not going to apologize to her because I didn't say anything wrong. And I got to thinking again. What did I tell my mom? I said, she was supposed to meet with my son and our granddaughter, her great-granddaughter, her great-granddaughter. And she didn't meet them. Or she didn't call him or whatever it is. And so she finally got on the phone with me. And I was like, well, Mom, you've done this to him 3 times. And she went off the handle. Now, I didn't say it wrong. I didn't say it. I said, Mom, you did it 3 times to him. Now, this is the 3rd time. But, you know, my heart was hurting as well. I didn't admit it during the conversation. I didn't admit it a week after the conversation or 2 weeks after the conversation. I just recently admitted it. I was hurting because my mom has done that to me as well. Not been there. That's why I said something about it in reference to my son. You know, what happens between her and my son is between them two. If it doesn't bother my son, why am I making it a big deal? Because it bothers me. Because when I call her, she's not answering the phone. Or whenever she sets plans with me, she doesn't even call or anything like that. So it was pain that an experience that took place through an experience with my son that I saw. And I'm going to apologize for it. It was my burden. It was my burden. So, even though my tone might have been okay, my tone, I said it, you know, Mom, you did it 3 times. It's still an attitude. It still was pain attached to it. And it's my responsibility. If I want to heal myself, I will apologize. If I want to heal my mother, I will apologize. Love always forgives. And that's something that God told me. And that's why now, it 2 weeks ago, it clicked in. You have to apologize. You have to forgive. Love is continual forgiveness. But, you know, you have to really realize that if it bothers you, it's about you. And I have to realize that if it bothers me, it's about me. So had my mom not, even if my mom had stood my son up or even me again, and if she does so in the future, even if she does now, if she does it in the future, it's not going to bother me now. I know what my mom does is about her, and I know how I respond. It's about me. If I feel upset that she didn't call, that she didn't tell me why she couldn't do something, I know I have to do some work. Love is continuous. Love has no demands on another person, no expectations. Love is free. If you are feeling anything other than freedom, it's not love. So I will do my best in the future to use words correctly still. If the word death harms you, I will change it to transformation, to something else. But you can't avoid something. You cannot avoid something, whether it's a word or an experience, and think you're going to heal from it. You can't. And I said that word can't. You can't. Can't doesn't have an attachment from myself. Can't gives me strength because I'm going to do the opposite. If I can't do something, I'm going to learn how, or I'm going to find out why. If you understand what hurts you is about you, you can make the choice to heal yourself. The world of matter is a constant reflection. That's it. And if you believe more in the world of matter, you are not believing in your eternal light. To be eternal is to always look within your heart, the spirit. You know, because we live in a world of matter, everything that we see is a projection of ourself. Because we have learned about it, and I'm going to be making a video about this, it's really a projection. Yet, because we live in a world of matter, we are able to coexist with somebody else who is within the world of matter. Therefore, our worlds are mixing together. Mixing. Yet, if I'm responsible for myself and that person is responsible for themselves, we are all learning. We're all going to be in love. But when we get to the point of saying, you know what, you got to change this, you got to do this, you can't do that, well, we're changing them or trying to change the world of matter, but which is impossible until we change what's within. And if you look at nature, to say that you don't witness death in nature is an illusion. Nature tells us that death is necessary. And people I know are so afraid of death and are so are in avoidance of change. If you don't like change as well, that's a bad word for other people. And it used to be for myself. People don't like change. People are always like, well, you know what? I've always been the same, and it's you who's changed all the time. You're the one who's not right. Well, no. It's written in the Bible that we must be changed, and God will change your mind and change your heart in order to become united with Source and Spirit. And the seasons teach us to change. The seasons teach us to let go. The seasons teach us to die. but the seasons teach us to live eternally because the cycle of life always returns. Always. Every single day when I learn something new about myself, something that has been holding me back, something that has been keeping me in fear, I've died a little bit. The ego has died a little bit, but I have gained more in return. Death and life are both in existence that go together. And if you are afraid of the word, or if that word is holding you back, I'm asking that you defeat it. Understand where it is stemming from. But it's the process too. If you don't understand it and it has an effect on you, it is a part of your process. And it's only when you get closer to source that you really understand what death is, where it has no control, no attachment, no restrictions, no chains holding you down. Death is true freedom. Death is your eternal light. I hope. So before I end this video, I wanted to add this. Because that comment that was left on my video about using these phrases of death or killing or anything else of that nature was necessary for my path. If that comment had been placed there a year ago, it would have hurt me. It would have hurt me because my ego was trying to die. Because my spirit was trying to live. Every time we see something, you know, like a social media post, a comment, and if it bothers you, it's for you. You know, that's why I don't comment. You know, I read people's, if I am reading a post on social media and I'm hearing their pain, and I have, it's okay. You know, we have the sense of picking up people's energy. I know that's possible. But if you have to ask yourself, why do you have the need to comment? Why do you have to have the need to express your opinion? And then in expressing something, is that person going to understand it? It's like the Bible again. There's lots of things, lots of words. People can memorize those words, phrases, scriptures, all they want. It doesn't mean you understand it. So just because you are writing something, is it going to be beneficial for the person? Luckily, I am at a point of receiving that as, yeah, I can. I can still learn. Love will always be open to learning. The ego will feel attacked, will feel judged, and the ego will make that person respond in a negative way. So we have to really ask ourselves, why do we have the need to comment, to speak? You know, we are not responsible for changing somebody else's mind. It's like, you know, I know for my marriage in my past, every time I would say, well, Joe, you need to do this, this, and this. Why aren't you doing this, this, and this? You're doing this, this, and this, and this. You're bickering. you're bickering. It becomes a bickering. Even if that person, you know, loves you, it doesn't matter. The ego always sees it as an attack. Only somebody who is in alignment with love will see it as assistance. I allow my husband to be himself. I don't tell my husband that he can or cannot do anything. He cannot buy anything. He can or can't go somewhere. If he asks for my opinion on things, you know, every now and then we'll get to a discussion and talk about things. But my husband is his own person. I can't teach him something that he has not had a chance to walk the path of. You can't. The only way that you can change somebody is by changing yourself. Now, if you have been on my journey, you know my marriage. I used to want it to be over. The beginning of my process to my ascension was because I asked God to change my marriage, to help me fix my marriage. And I meant it in my heart. I prayed and I meant it in my heart, please. I have done every single thing that I can think of. I have given him more than I can give. I have done more than I could do. I've tried this. I've tried that. I've tried kindness. I've tried to be mean. I tried to yell. Nothing's worked. And if my way isn't working, yours must. And I began to see what God was doing when he was changing, fixing my husband. When he was fixing my husband, God was not fixing my husband. He was fixing how I viewed my husband. And God has been doing that in every human being in my life. How you view everything is about yourself, you know? And I can give you an example of, you know, like my mom. Let's just go back to my mom, since I've already mentioned that. If I call my mom and she hasn't been picking up the phone, I can really be mad. And it's been a month. I can really get mad. I can start to get worried. Maybe something's wrong. And I actually did the other day. Or I can just, you know, give her some space. I can text and not get a response back. Yet, when my mom calls, I'm going to be there for her, no matter what. And I can do that over and over again, over and over again. She might go MIA again for another month and not call me back, not be there for me. And that is okay. How I view it is about me. What she does is about her. Always. This is how life is. If you keep it simple like that, you change every single thing about you. And you become a greater human being. You become the resurrected self. You don't resurrect until you have died. That is the truth. Christ was put to death, but he rose as well. And I will be talking about that soon. So I'm going to end this video, and I hope it really helps you guys out in understanding, you know, why I'm able to use the word death in my life, in my process, and why I don't want you to be afraid of the word death. It's something that has, we are, what is it that we are actually killing off? Killing off, and I'm using that word. What is it that's being removed? The personalities that have been created. All of the personalities that have been created. So when we look at the 12 zodiacal signs, the 24 elders, all of those work with the personalities within us. But because we have the two energies within us of masculine and feminine, we're going to have 12 on one side and 12 on the other. And you're going to have this all the way through your tree of life for a total of 144,000. We have, and so Adam and Eve both have a 12. And then those 12, every single one of those 12 have another 12 underneath them. And those underneath them, eternal. Eternal. It never stops. We cap it off at 144,000, which also works with the nadis within us. And this is why the cycle of life and death is always repeated. Don't be afraid of words. The words only begin to have, that's another thing. There is life and death within words. But when the ego is not intact any longer, and the heart or the spirit is working, those words have no more power, because love fulfills the law. Only when we are living still within negativity, that death has a negative effect on us, the word death, or even the word faith, or the word God, or even the word Satan, when they have a negative attachment to it, it is because we still have a negative element within us. Love is what fulfills the law and purifies us to where there is no harm. It is our shield. It is our protector. And it is a product of the Christ element, the divine element that you have to create. Okay, so that's my video for today, and I hope it helps you in becoming your higher self. This is Christy. Much love, health, and healing your way. I am bringing purpose to your life. Take care.